Welcome to the Boca Lead Podcast. We hope you enjoy listening to this recording that was recently done at a gathering at Boca Raton Community Church. Visit bocalead.com for more information.
Good afternoon and welcome, and we're glad you're here. I ask every week who is here for the first time. And so if you are here for the first time, raise your hand. Well, let's welcome them. Glad you're here. Today we're talking on a subject, lead by example. Leading by example. I was talking to a lady as I was shaking hands, and she goes, "Who's the example you're going to give that we should follow?" And I said, "You. You are the ones who should lead by example. I'm not going to tell you to lead like this person or that person. Hopefully when you leave today, you're going to learn to lead, or you probably already know how to lead, but lead by example, to actually have a reason why people should follow you beyond being the boss or being the head of the team. But let me start by telling you a story of climbing a ladder. Do you like climbing ladders? I hate climbing ladders. Big people were not meant to climb ladders. And you read those ergonomic statements on the back that it's for, and you can never, it's always less weight than people like me. And so you go, it's a chance. But I take the chance. So we had built a house, and right after we built it, there was a little leak in the roof. And so I called the builder up, and I said, "We got to get this roof leak fixed." He goes, "You know what? I'll do it. We won't call the roofer back. You and I'll fix it," because it was just a little leak, two pitches coming into a valley. And I said, he said, "You and I'll get up there and we'll fix it." I said, "Okay, whatever you say." And so he comes with a huge ladder, and it was a one-story house, but a very tall roof line. And so he goes up on the roof. He's like a squirrel. He just runs up this ladder. He's on the roof. He says, "Bill, bring the 5-gallon jug of, I call it tar, I don't know what it is, and the trowels." I go, "I can't do this. I cannot do this." So he runs down. Now, this is the truth. He's holding a big gulp, calling a sub, and he's running down this ladder about 14 feet down. He puts this 45-pound 5-gallon thing under his arm, you know, the little thing, and puts all the trowels on it, still holding the big gulp, still talking on the phone, and runs up the ladder. And he's saying, "Bill, come on up, we got to do this." And I'm just hugging this thing as I get up there, because I know at some point when you're at the top of the ladder, it's havoc, right? Have you ever been up there? It's havoc. And so we do our thing, we get it fixed. It was just a little hairline crack, get it done. And I just hug the thing all the way down. Now what's interesting is that the most important rung on a ladder is the last one. Has anybody fallen off a ladder? You usually fall off, not from the top, because you wouldn't be here if you fell off from the top. You usually fall off from the bottom one. How many have twisted their ankles because they thought the second rung was the first? Anybody? There's people here who have actually had operations, knee operations, hip operations, feet operate, all these things, because we do not know how to negotiate the simplicity of a ladder. And today I'm going to use a ladder as an illustration for developing character and how people should follow us. So can we do that? Pull out the paper that's in the little tripod in front of you, and you'll see a ladder. I'm just keeping this real simple. And what's interesting with a ladder is there are two posts in the ladder, and then there are all these rails or rungs or steps, whatever you want to call them. Years ago when they used to make ladders, and even some contractors do it now where they just put a couple 2x4s together and they staple gun some feet to them or steps to them, they just do it. There's some very important things about it. First of all, the posts need to be the same size and the same weight and pretty much the same height as well. And then they start at the bottom and put the first rung on, and that develops the ladder. But what's interesting is if you're building a ladder, you don't build it first rung, second rung, third rung, fourth rung, fifth rung. You don't do that. Nowadays, we buy these prefabbed ladders, so we don't know this, but you need to put the first one on first, and then you need to go to the middle of the ladder and put a second rung on. You don't put it down at the beginning, the second one. You go to the middle of the ladder and you put it there. And those two rungs are the most important rungs of the entire ladder. The rest provide steps. The rest provide a little stability. But it's those two rungs that hold the posts together. Now, we don't know that because we buy these fancy ladders nowadays that are prefabbed out of China or somewhere, wherever we get these ladders. But that is the way a ladder is done. So we're going to look at that today. So take out your paper. Look at the ladder. And the first thing is, what do the posts represent? Let's put a picture of the ladder up here. They represent two things. It's already on your paper. They represent your environment. So you can put your family, that's an environment. You can put your business, that's an environment. You can put your nonprofit work, that's an environment. Any area that you are a part of, this works. So it doesn't work all the way across the same. It's a little different, but this is your environment. This is who we are, who we do the work. This is who we are. The second one is the relationships you have inside that environment. So if it's a family, it might be your husband or your wife or your children. If it's a business, it's your colleagues, your boss or stakeholders. It's the people underneath it. It's the people around you. It's the other team members at another branch. Whoever it is, it's relationships. These are the things that hold it together. Now, I want to talk about these rings, rungs, steps. You could put any name, rails, about it. And we're going to look at seven of them today, and we're going to go from the bottom up. So when you start, this is counterintuitive, start at the bottom and work your way up. Can we do that instead of the top working down? The first one is this. Trust. Trust. The most important rung on the ladder, the first one that balances the environment, the culture, with relationship is trust. Now, if you've been a part of Boca Lead for any length of time, you know that every third session we're together, I talk on trust, because I believe all relationships are based on trust. If you don't have trust, certain things happen. If you do have trust, certain things happen. Trust is very, very important. And the reason, you know, if you take the back to the physical example, if you're up here in these other rungs and you skip the trust rung, you're going to wrench your knee. If you skip the trust rung metaphorically in relationships, you are going to wrench the relationship because trust is so important. I shared this a few months ago, but we're a church, and so we rely on donations. And there was a gentleman who came to our church who was not a member of our church, only came occasionally, and he wanted to give a donation to the church. And so I said, great, come on in. And he said, I don't want to put it in the offering plate, like, you know. So he came in, he and his wife, an elderly gentleman in his early 90s at the time, and he gave the biggest gift our church has ever gotten. Doesn't even attend here. And I thanked him, and it was a piece of land that we sold, and it was huge, and the biggest gift I can remember ever, certainly in my time here. Thanked him. He's never owned a new car, never bought anything new, but his lands have increased in value, and so he gave us one of his pieces of land, and we got it. So a few weeks later, I brought him back in to thank him, just to say, hey, thank you very much. He said, my daughter and son-in-law are coming into town. They live up in the Chicago area. Coming into town, I'd like them to meet you. I said, fabulous. I'd love to meet your children. Bring them on in. I said, what's their name? And he told me their name, and I recognized the man, the son-in-law's name. I didn't know it because it's a different name than the father, obviously, through marriage. It was a man I worked for when I went to school in Chicago when I was 19 years old. He ran a whole division of the university I went to. He had just retired at that point because he was in his probably early 70s because the father-in-law was in his 90s. And I said, this is fantastic. And I said, I knew him because I worked for him. He goes, I know you worked for him. I go, how do you know I worked for him? Because I asked him your character. I said, I was 19 years old. I was working in a warehouse. I was schlepping boxes. And he said these words. He said, "You were trustworthy." I was making $4 an hour trying to get through college. He goes, "You were trustworthy." Now I'm 55 years old at the time, and he's giving $2 million plus to us based on something I did at $4 or $4.50. And he said, "If you can be trusted in the little things, you can be trusted with the big things." That was an amazing thing. Now, it's not about me. It's about a 19-year-old 30 years ago who decided just to do something that was trustworthy. Everything you do is based on trust or lack of trust. And if there's lack of trust, this is what happens to the ladders. They start going like this, don't they? The posts aren't aligned anymore. You start going up that one. I don't care how light you are, you're going to fall. Trust is the most important one. Number two, don't go to the second one. Don't go to the third one. Go to the fourth one. It's the middle one. The second one is the second most important. This brings it together. So go up four rungs. Align with the truth. Align with the truth. You need to be known as a truth teller. You need to be trustworthy. Two T's. If you walk away with nothing else today, learn I got to be trustworthy and I got to tell the truth. And if you do that in business, if you do that with your competitors, your colleagues, your stakeholders, your employees, your vendors, etc., it'll be an incredible opportunity for you. These are character items that you have to develop: trust and alignment. Now, that's all of us. That's every one of us should have those. Every ladder should have it. We call it the character ladder. This is not the ladder climbing the ladder of success. This is climbing the ladder of character. Now let's look at the other ones real quick. So back to number two. Number two is you need to discover what you can do. This is a very simple thing, but I have to tell you, both in business and running a company or a portion of a company that had a lot of people in it, and then now a church that has a lot of people in it, I ask them, "What are you good at? What do you do?" And I get people telling me the oddest things, like, "I have no idea." I'm serious. I bet you if I stopped and asked each one of you personally, "Have you discovered what you can do?" And a lot of you are going to go, "No." And I'm saying, that is a sad thing. We are all adults here. Now, there's a table of high schoolers here who help us out, like Joy and the others that open the doors. It's okay, high schoolers, if you don't know what you're good at. You got a couple more years. The rest of us need to discover this. And it is important to do it. Now, here's the thing is, all of us know that we redefine our lives. We have to engineer our lives, right? Because our industry changes, our lives change, our jobs change. I've re-engineered my life. That's why the ladder goes up and down. You're going to go up and down. I re-engineered my life when I was in my late 40s and became a pastor after being in commercial real estate. Just one of those things I wanted to do and loved to do. And my wife and I said, "Let's do it." I had to kind of climb back down the ladder a little bit to discover what my gifts were and abilities and work my way back up the ladder. But I still wanted, I still had to be trustworthy. I still had to align with the truth. The third one is this: develop what you are good at, your capacities, your abilities. Now, I talk to a lot of people when I used to do job interviews a lot and things, and I'd go, "The job you have," I go, "how much of it do you like? You know, here's your job. How much of it do you like?" Okay, they say such and such and they don't. How much are you good at? How much is in your gift set? And it is amazing how people will say only 20%, 30%. I would say, men and women in this room, you live in Boca Raton. You live in one of the greatest cities in the world. You live in one of the greatest economies in the world. This is a place that you need to find what God has given you to do and figure it out and go do it. Now, there are times of transition. I totally get it. There are times when you're schlepping boxes just to make ends meet, but that is not our entire life. You need to discover what you are good at, what God-given gifts you have, and then you need to develop those gifts so that you have this platform of being trustworthy, doing the truth, and running a great business. You know, I'm all for running a great business, whatever it is, whether it's a for-profit or not-for-profit. You have a great opportunity. Then the fourth one, of course, is align with the truth, because as you are growing in discovering your abilities, developing your capabilities, and who you are, you have to do it with truth, and you have to do it where it's trustworthy. So young adults in here, those of you who are in your late teens with our high schoolers all the way up to in your 30s, understand this. You're somewhere maybe in this area, but don't ever forget you have to align with the truth. You will have people telling you, you can do this, you can do that. It's April 15th here in a couple of days, isn't it? How many people tell you, you know, you can fudge on this and you can fudge on that? Something as simple as no one will ever know, but they will know. You know that you have not told the truth. And so I'm not an IRS agent, but I do believe in telling the truth. I hate paying my taxes as much as you hate paying your taxes. But we live in this country, we got to do what our responsibility is, we got to tell the truth. Whether it's that or with a client, we talk about time here. If you say you can do something and have it ready by next Friday, deal in truth and have it ready by next Friday. And if you can't have it ready until 2 weeks from now, tell them and have it ready 2 weeks from now. It's incredible. Let's go to the next ones. The next one is this. Is get a job, acquire a position that matches who you are, that allows you to use your gifts. And gifts mean abilities, skills, talents, because I believe I have this concept that everything you have is a gift. I just want you to know everything you are and everything you have is a gift. It is. I mean, I look at my own life. I grew up in a two-parent home. I grew up in Royal Palm for goodness sakes. I grew up on the Intercoastal Waterway. That was a gift. I did nothing for that. I went to the college of my choice. I married the woman of my dreams. I've been in 100 countries. I have the job I want to have. For goodness sakes, God has given us things way beyond us. We need to deploy the gifts that we have been given. You need to use what you have. To say you have this ability, to say you've developed it and then you don't use it, to me is a crime. I just think it's a crime. You've been given, and you know, I look at the nonprofits in this room. A lot of you donate into the and I'm not talking about this church one bit. I don't want any of your money. But I look at the great things that are going in this town. I go, I went to the YMCA yesterday. It was a great meeting. I got to tell you, I was so disappointed. They raised $75,000. There was 500 business people there. I said, $75,000? And one gift was $50,000. They raised $25,000 with 500 executives there? I thought, that's a crime in this town. That's just a personal thing. If you're from the Y, I salute you. But we need to be deploying our gifts so that we can use these gifts for other people, both in nonprofit as well in your own business. Number six, you got to pay the price. You got to practice who you are. You got to do the business. You got to do it. You know, there's a whole concept of the whole 10,000 hour thing, and you got to do what you are good at and practice it. We talk about doctors and their practice, we talk about engineers having a practice, that people like that have a practice. All of us are in the practice, in the business of practicing what we do. And I encourage you to become the best at what you do, because you will outshine everyone else without any problem. And you will be able to climb the ladder, not of success, you will climb the ladder of success by climbing the ladder of character. Because inside these positions, inside practicing, you're aligning with the truth, you're building trust, you're working with your people in the environment, the culture, and actually I think you can change the culture. If you got a bad culture, try to change the culture in your business and the relationships there. And then finally, the last one is this, do something bigger than yourself. Have you ever just sat down, taking a walk at the beach or on the golf course or early in the morning or late in the evening when the sun's setting and go, what could I do that is bigger than me? And let me tell you, if you start having those conversations with you, if you're a Christian here, and I know a lot of you aren't, but if you're a Christian, add to that concept, God, what is it that you want me to do that's bigger than myself? And it is amazing that what comes out of that. There are amazing things that come out of when you say, let's do something bigger than ourselves. It causes you to be humble because you know you didn't do it yourself. See, if I only do what's as big as me, then I can have pride, I can have arrogance, I can have all this thing because I do what's big as me. And I'm a big guy, so it's good. But let me tell you, I love doing things that are so much bigger than me, so that I'm just a piece of what it is. And when you begin to do that, people will follow you. Because people will see you're of the truth, you're trustworthy, you know what you're doing, you practice what you preach, your walk and your talk match, and things can happen. Now, let me give you three ways to apply this. Down below the ladder on your paper, three ways to apply it. Number one, find your voice. Now, that's a metaphor. Find your voice. And in finding your voice, you can clarify your personal values. Let me give you a physical example of this about a voice. I spend my life talking. That's what I do for a living. I talk. And so I had a coach, a life coach, personal coach, and I said, I need to do it better. I need to get better at this. I want to hone in my skills. You know, golfers have coaches, pro basketball players have coaches. I wanted a coach. So I got a coach, a speech coach. And so I was doing this talk, five-session talk one time. And I said, help me on the talk. He goes, great. And he is a great speaker. I mean, a fabulous speaker. So we work on it. We do it. I put my stuff in it. He adds his salt and pepper and all this stuff in it. And so I give the five sessions. And it was amazing. It was great. It was really good. And people came up afterwards and said this to me. It wasn't you. It was great, but it wasn't you. You stole that from somebody. And I go, no, I paid this guy a lot of money. And you know what's interesting? He didn't know my voice. He was helping me give his voice. And I was speaking his voice. Now think about it. Whose voice is being heard when you speak? You know, sometimes you're trustworthy, sometimes you're not, sometimes you're consistent, sometimes you're not. Your voice is all over the place. I would venture to say you need to have a consistent voice so when people know they're dealing with you, they know exactly what they're dealing with. It is so important. Find your voice. And use it. And again, you will be climbing the ladder of character, which also will give you success in your business because people follow consistent voices. Sadly, they follow consistent voices that are bad voices. We've seen that all through history. But you be people of character and have people follow your voice. Number two, set the example. I can't say this too often, too long, set the example. I am a firm believer. It doesn't mean you have to do other people's job and show them how to do their job. Not that, but you have to set the example. Whatever criteria you have personally, set the example for that. I talk about this all the time, and so you've heard me, those who are regulars here, of setting the example by aligning yourself with the values that you have, aligning yourself with those. So set the example as being trustworthy. Set the example of being a person of truth and other character qualities, generosity, forgiveness. There's a great one that we never talk about in business that is grace. We need to have grace in business once in a while. There needs to just be some forgiveness happening in business from time to time. It's incredible, but set the example. The final one is this. Third is be authentic. Write that down. Be authentic. Now, there is a huge difference from being transparent and being authentic. People go, oh, I'm transparent. Our company is transparent. We're transparent. I don't like that word. Why? I love ice cream. And I actually love gelato the best. Have you ever had gelato? It's like takes ice cream to a whole nother level. Now, you walk into the gelato store down at Meisner Park, that little macaroon store. I skip the macaroons. I go right to the gelato. It is beautiful. It's flown in from Paris every other day. From Paris. We're getting gelato from Paris. I don't know how that works. And there's a window there, a glass window. It's transparent. I can sit there, stand there, and drool over the gelato. It's transparent. I can see it. You know, they make it so, whip it so beautifully, and they put little stuff on top. It's fantastic. But that means nothing until I ask the lady, can I have a little spoon of this? And when I have the spoon of one of them, it has become authentic to me because I've seen it and now I've tasted it. You see, you need to be authentic. People need to see you. Yes, that's good. But they also need to taste and understand that you are who you say you are. Because have you ever done that and you've taken it and you go, oh, that's so beautiful. Let me have, and you take it and you go, that does not taste like it looks. I do not want that. Have you ever done that? Well, and then you go, oh, that person looks so great in what they say, and et cetera, but then in reality, they aren't. Be authentic. Don't just be transparent, because that's putting a glass. Yeah, I'll let you see a little of me. You know, it's not much to see. I mean, I guess there's too much to see. But be authentic. It's so important. Our time is closing. I want to close with an example of something that happened to me. It was a long time. Back in first grade, I went to school here in Boca Raton. I'm from Boca, I told you that. I grew up in Royal Palm. Okay, so I grew up on the right side of the tracks. But I went to a school that was integrated naturally. It was the only school in Palm Beach County, as I understand it, that was integrated before desegregation. And that was Boca Raton Elementary School. We were about a third white, a third African American, and a third Hispanic. I grew up in a very multicultural environment in elementary school. So that's all I knew. What is busing? What is segregation? What is desegregation? I don't know any of that because my best friends were black and white and Hispanic and all the rest. And I didn't even know that some of these Hispanics were actually migrant workers. We had a whole migrant worker group here in East Boca that would go out to the farms. I didn't know any of that. They were my friends. We all grew up together, all well. And it was interesting. Back then, they put you in rows by names. So I'm Mitchell. I'm in the middle of the pack. And I sat next to a girl here and a girl here, same one. One that started with M, one that started with N, for 6 years. Think about 180 days of school times six. I don't know. That's over 1,000 times days, I sat with these two girls. One of them, we shared a locker. Back then, you had the cubby holes, two people, one locker. Shared a locker with the same girl for 6 years. Wow. We go to junior high, Boca Middle School now, Boca Junior High, and of course, it's the big school. We go from a couple hundred to a couple thousand. I never saw her again. I go off with the boys, she goes off with the girls, etc. And then the whole busing thing came into play and who knows what else. I never saw her again until about 20 years later. It was Thanksgiving time. We had small children. So it was about 15 years, well, 20 years later. We had small children. We have five kids, small. And it was Thanksgiving and we had done some turkeys and given away some food and we had some these big packages and we were giving them away. We were in a housing project here in South Palm Beach County, and I knocked on the last door. I think we did five that day, Elizabeth and the kids, and knocked on the door, opened the door, and there was the girl, now a lady. I had my five kids behind me, and Elizabeth, she had her four or five kids behind her. Our eyes locked. I couldn't speak. I didn't know that I grew up in Royal Palm and she grew up in the projects. I didn't know that. I didn't understand that. I couldn't speak and she couldn't speak, which was rare for me. Elizabeth took over the conversation and told her why we're there, gave her the food, etc., and walked away. And Elizabeth said, "What is going on?" I said, "I spent 1,000 days with this girl and I didn't have a clue of her situation. Not one. Now, of course, I was 8, 9, 10. Fast forward 10 more years. It was Christmas time, just a couple years ago, and we were passing out duffel bags of toys. We've all given toys away at Christmas, haven't we? So we did this, and we decided to do it to children of prisoners. 200 prisoners in South Palm Beach County, you don't think about that, that are all over the state of Florida, and we decided that we would we'd go door to door to all the children whose fathers or mothers were incarcerated and give age appropriate. So we did all the work, got everything, worked with an organization. 8-year-old boy got him things, 10-year-old girl got him things. So we handed out all the 200 but four of them. For somehow they got left. And so I called a buddy of mine. I said, I'm just exhausted. We've all been working. Would your family go and deliver the last four? He said, love to. And so there were the four. I was waiting right out here under the canopy, waiting for him to come with a duffel. And I was going to hand him the addresses. And I organized the whole thing. But for the first time, I looked at the addresses so I could tell them where to go. And I looked at the names, and there was the girl's name. Grandmother. Her daughter was incarcerated in Alachua County, and we're sending four duffel bags to her four grandchildren. And again, I thought, I've missed something here. I have totally missed something. We look at leading our organizations. Yes, we can do that. Leading our families, we get it. Maybe we do it well, maybe we don't. Leading a nonprofit, we get it. Leading a sports team, we get it. But there's a whole community out here we need to lead by example. There's a whole city, and part of this city is gorgeous, part of the city has an underbelly, and we need to do it all. You and I are responsible for leading this city and leading the spheres of influence, and I encourage you to lead by example. Lead in trust, lead in truth, lead in the gifts God has given you, and I believe we can make Boca the best place in the entire planet to live. Thank you very much. Yeah.